Welcome to a new episode of Operation Gundog. We hope you enjoy it.
Back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. For tonight's episode, we have a special guest, Bill Desmaris. I believe I'm pronouncing that appropriately. You can find him on Instagram at Bill_Desmo, but he's currently in Instagram jail. So in the meantime, if you can't find that page, he has a new page as of today at Desmo's_photos. Our episode tonight is brought to you by at Dirty Duck Coffee. And the name of the episode is How to Train Your Dragon, with Bill's dog Ares being the main character of the episode. Ares is Bill's first gun dog. He's a very high drive dog, which might not be the easiest to train for your first gun dog, but we're going to talk to Bill about that. So, Bill, tell us a little about yourself.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on. So, like you said, my name's Bill Desmaris. I'm from Tiverton, Rhode Island right now. I just moved to Rhode Island. Ares is my black lab. He's definitely a high drive dog for sure, but I love him. He came from Bob Owens at Lone Duck Outfitters. Bob is out of New York. A lot of people probably know Bob and Lone Duck themselves. He's from Bob's first litter, Cruz and Rage. Cruz is a master hunter. She'd be going for Master Nationals this year if they didn't cancel it. And his father is a master hunter, qualified all ages twice. So he's pretty stacked for sure. High drive is definitely the definition of Ares. There's no question about it.
I knew that his mom was Cruz, but I didn't know his dad's name was Rage, which I find to be super fitting for this episode and his personality.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's definitely every bit of that. There's no question about it.
Talk to us a little bit about some of the things you have encountered with this high drive dog. What have been your biggest obstacles?
Right now, his biggest obstacle is still steadiness at the line in hunt test situations or training days. He gets super jacked up. So he pretty much always rides at a 10 for intensity. When it comes to a training day or a hunt test, that goes up to about a 15. And it's tough. It's not easy for sure. We skipped Senior Hunter this year just because I didn't want to create any bad habits that I couldn't reverse for him getting hunt test savvy. So, we talked to a few people, Bob in particular, and by we, I mean my buddy Wade and I, who we train with a lot. He basically recommended that we not skip Senior, but wait till Ares is a bit older, just to basically harness that drive and that control at the line, because he'll mark anything. He runs pretty good blinds for a year and a half old dog. But if they set something up where it's a 30-yard breaking bird, he's gonna go. There's no question about it. Especially in that high intensity environment, it definitely has its difficulties for sure. In the field, he's a good dog. I love him to death, but the high drive is definitely, I don't want to say it's not for everybody, but you definitely have to be careful that you don't get burned by that fire-breathing dragon, if you will, because he will. He's got two speeds, stop and full speed ahead.
That kind of reminds me, there is a video, I think you posted on your story or something a while back, but it was a mark maybe 75 yards away from you.
Yep.
Near that little pond you guys train around, and I think it was your wife recording, and I swore that dog was going to full send into the pond that was only like 5 yards behind the mark. And he just slammed on the brakes as soon as he stepped on the mark and brought it back.
It's definitely proposes a challenge. When that mark in particular, we threw it that close because Ares, for some reason, if he sees big water, he has to hit it. He loves to swim. So we kind of, I didn't want to say we set it up for him to fail, but we kind of did to a degree. I needed that correction of making sure that he's going to see the mark and he's not just going to go full steam ahead into the water. He has before, but by no means is he a perfect dog. He definitely makes me look a lot better than what I am as a trainer. He's a super, super intelligent dog. The whole litter from that breeding is really intelligent. But they're all really, really high drive too.
Right. I know that you had mentioned that you had gotten a lot of pointers from Bob, and Bob had been training, I know, Brew and maybe another out of Aries.
Hunter.
Litter. Hunter, yeah, sir, right.
Yep. Really good dog.
So can you give us some of the tips that he kind of gave you? I know that you had some tips from him regarding steadiness and then some vocalization tips.
So the biggest thing that I've taken from Bob is very simple. With a fast dog, you have to move slow. And with a slow dog, you have to move fast. And Aries is very, very fast. There's no question about it. He picks up things pretty quickly. But with that comes a really high level of confidence on his part. So he moves really quick. So I always have to try to find myself as a trainer. And I use that word trainer pretty generically, because I mean, I'm not a pro trainer at all. You know, he's my first gun dog, you know. But I have to always find myself going slower than what I think. If I think I'm going slow, I need to go slower, especially with him. So this particular weekend, we were actually just up at Bob's at his training seminar. And Aries, we didn't really give him a lot of marks, because I don't want to say he doesn't need it, but he kind of doesn't. So a lot of what we were doing was line steadiness, coming out of the kennel appropriately, walking to the line appropriately, coming out of the holding blind in a controlled manner, walking up to the line in a controlled manner. And then literally not seeing a mark at all, walk back off the line, go back in the kennel, you know, just a lot of line manners, a lot of steadiness drills. And really he needs that, you know, there's no question about it. Not even just for the hunt test scenarios, but just when you're hunting in general, you know, I don't want a dog that's going to break on every single volley of geese or ducks. You know, in some situations, that's okay. Some people like that with a meat dog, and that's perfectly fine. I have nothing against that. That's not what I want for Aries. And so his line manners and his steadiness are the biggest things that I don't want to say get in his way, but will definitely, I guess, get in his way, basically.
Right on. And I think, you know, what you mentioned about just pulling him out the truck and making him think that he's about to get a mark, I think that goes a long way, you know, right before you put him up and he's not getting one. I think that sets you up for, you know, him not breaking every time, because he knows that there might not be a mark associated with what's going on. Or I know one thing that's really helped me with Bonnie, who's my higher drive dog, is when we started doing multiples, when we started doing doubles, she wanted to wait, you know, not break, because another one might come out, you know. And then I say her name and she gets two now. So I think she kind of figured that out. And that's something that has really benefited her.
Yeah, we don't run a whole lot of doubles and triples with Aries. We do it on occasion, but a lot of what we do is just complex singles. So we feel, and we learned this from Bob, that we can teach a dog a lot more with just a single mark where different factors are involved, as opposed to a double or a triple. Sure, they look cool, you know, and he needs it at these higher levels. But when we're teaching when we're teaching suction or driving past old falls or running a blind behind a gunner station, we're running them marks as singles to not only set him up for success, but just to make sure he's actually learning and taking in that information, as opposed to just seeing three or four marks go off at one time, pick them all up, and then back in the truck, you know?
Right. You mentioned kind of some steadiness drills, but what about the vocalization? And is that still an issue? I know that it had been early on.
When he was a pup, he was definitely vocal. Unfortunately, kind of the whole litter has struggled a little bit with the vocalization. Honestly, I don't even think he knows he's doing it sometimes. So what we did to fix that was basically kind of along the same line. Walk him up to the line, throw a mark, have his choke chain on him. And if he whines or whimpers or moves his feet, check him, you know, make that collar correction, heel him off the line, back into the holding blind, full denial. You're not getting that bird. If you're going to move your feet, if you're going to be vocal, you're not going to get it. I don't nitpick too much. He's gotten a lot better since I've done them things. Every once in a while, you know, if he's super jacked up, he'll definitely let out a whimper or a whine. But I also don't want to create bigger problems by nitpicking something that I feel is pretty much under control to a degree. He's not anywhere near as he was before. When he was younger, I mean, he was like a banshee at the line, you know, barking, you know, screaming at the line sometimes. And that's, you know, just not acceptable. Now he'll whimper a little bit, but I think it's just more out of excitement than anything. And I mean, it kind of is par for the course when you have a dog with this much drive, and there's no shortage of love for the game from him. I mean, he loves every second of hunt tests, just training in general. Every time I pull him out of the box, he's ready to rock. There's no hyping him up. He's already ready to rock. And I love that about him. I almost would rather have a high drive dog like Aries than a lower drive dog. Everybody that I talk to, they all say the same thing. You can't put drive into a dog, but you can harness a high drive dog. So I really think that when he gets a little older, he gets a little bit more mature. I really think I'm going to have one bad to the bone gun dog.
Right on. If it was easy, everyone would.
That's
would
right. Do it. That's for sure. That's what they all say.
I'll say I much prefer the high drive dog too. And it kind of sets the tone. Like, you know, if your dog is enjoying it, you're definitely going to enjoy it.
Anytime he comes out of the kennel, he is ready to rock. There's no shortage of energy from him at all. He's always given 110%. But now on the flip side of that coin, his off switch is incredible. I mean, he'll go from that fire-breathing dragon, if you will, in the field, running as fast as he can every single mark or until his legs get tired. But then he'll also come home, and if my daughter's coloring, he'll lay right on the floor and cuddle with her. He's got a really good balance in that aspect. It just comes down to me, the owner, harnessing that drive in the field.
Right. Sounds like a little case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, 100%. That's him. I have a lot of fun with him and his level of drive. It does come with, you know, some headaches here and there, you know, because he's just so fast.
So, Bill, you kind of mentioned, you know, some of the aspects that come along with training a dog that's running that fast. And so much of dog training is about timing. You know, you want to get those corrections in time. How does having a fast dog affect your timing as a trainer?
That's just, you have to be quick. And I struggle with it a lot sometimes. You know, we train with a gentleman named Jeff, and his dog is actually going to the Grand in the next week or two. And we're running a blind with Aries, and I gave him a right over, and he overshot the pile. But if I would have been quicker on my whistle to sit him, I could have just tooted him back in and he would have got the blind, as opposed to I wasn't quick enough. He overran the pile by about 30 yards. And now I have to fight him to go back left when he just came from over there. But yeah, there's definitely times where you have to, like, if he's going to start hunting early, I have to give him a verbal back, you know, just to keep him pushing back. But I have to be able to see his head start to go down a little bit and be able to know, like, hey, he's going to start hunting before he even knows he's going to start hunting. And that's a challenge.
Oftentimes dragons are the way that they are because of a blend of their drive and their confidence. So if you had to kind of rate his drive and his confidence on a scale of 1 to 10 as a puppy, what would you have given him?
10 for drive and confidence. I could basically throw anything at him even now, and he's going to figure it out. He's going to go out there. He's going to establish an intelligent hunt. And 99% of the time, he's going to find that bird. He won't give up on a hunt, which I love. He knows what he's out there for. He knows he's got a job to do. So I would say he's super confident. I have noticed a little bit of lack of confidence lately when it comes to running blinds. And I just realized over the weekend that that's my fault because, again, I'm nitpicking him at such a young age when it comes to running blinds that it's eroding some of his confidence a little bit. So I have to correct myself. And basically, if I tell him back and he goes back, the line doesn't have to be perfectly straight at a year and a half old. We're going to figure it out. We're going to get to the bird and we're going to build confidence. Whereas before, I was kind of messing with him at the line, trying to get him lined up perfect. And we use white poles when we run blinds, but they can't always see that. And if he would go off to the wrong, if I would say back and he would go back, but it wasn't where I wanted him to go, I would no hear him, bring him back and line him back up. And I noticed sometimes he lately would no-go me off the line, you know, and it was definitely a level of confusion. And I couldn't figure out what was going on until I went to the training seminar and Bob told me that it's, for lack of better words, it's my fault. You know, I'm nitpicking him too much. And when I say back, as long as he's going back, we're going to figure it out from there on out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we kind of talked to that a couple weeks ago. I was doing the same thing with Sailor and Watermarks.
I'm guilty of the same thing, man. I've been running a lot of blinds lately, and I'm really starting to feel that you have to have the balance of like the easy blinds and the more complicated blinds that you have to handle on. Yeah, some feedback that I recently got kind of regarding the same situation was, you know, go out there with the white poles and set up your pattern and have, you know, the black and white bumpers and the white poles and send them. And then the next day you come out and you've gotten rid of the white poles and you've just got the black and white bumpers. Send them.
Yep.
The next day you come out, you got the orange bumpers, same pattern, and send them. And that's just the progression of it. And I've that's what I've been working on lately. And I've seen a big, pretty big difference.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Like you said, it's all about balance. And I'm learning that every day. You know, you can't have too much of one thing and not enough of another because it's just going to create problems in another department, basically.
Right.
So you kind of mentioned, you know, the litter he came from, that Cruise Rage litter that Bob had. Were you like actively looking for a male black lab?
Long story short, my boss was really big into hunting. We kind of kicked it off real good. And he was like, hey, why don't you come sit in the blind and let me show you what it's all about. And I mean, I'll tell you, the ducks came in. It was like purplish skies out, gun barrels were blazing, and he sent his black dog out. And that sucker ran out, picked up the duck, brought it right back to a proper heel. And I was like, I want that. And I've always had a thing. I had a black lab growing up. She wasn't anything special. You know, my parents got her. She was just a family dog, but I've always loved just that jet black coat. And I was torn between whether I wanted an English or an American. My boss loves English. He loves that big blocky head. But I've always kind of liked the speed of an American. I've liked the longer snout. I liked the tall dogs and the sleeker build. And just the speed and the drive. And at the time, I really wasn't looking for a dog. I mean, me and my wife had just moved. My daughter was probably, I want to say, around 5 or 6 years old. So it definitely wasn't like a super, like, great timing to get a dog. But I just, for some reason, I just knew I wanted a dog from that litter. And ironically, I messaged Bob. Nobody had put a deposit down on a black male, so I got first pick of the black males. And I didn't even really pick Aries. Bob kind of picked my brain a little bit, found out what I want. I kind of shot myself in the foot because I told him I wanted a super high drive dog. I wanted the dog that was tackling the duck at, you know, 8 weeks old. Not that that even means anything at such a young age, but being so ignorant to everything, that's what I wanted. And here he is.
Fire breathing dragon.
Yes, sir. Very much so.
If you were to ever have another gun dog, would you want it to be a fire breathing dragon as well? And yes. I'm going to say yes.
Yes. 110% yes.
This is a good follow-up to John's question, right? So if you were to get your next gun dog and it had to be a breed other than a lab,
I'd have to get a
black dog. What color poodle would you get and why?
If I was to get a poodle, it'd have to be black, of course. I've never had a problem with Aries being out in the field and birds coming over and then flaring because he's running back into his kennel. I really don't think that they see black dogs.
So I've heard some theories that a lot of birds, if they see a black blob moving through the water or on the land or something, they just think it's their shadow following them.
All kidding aside, though, I have a thing. It's going to sound crazy, but I have a thing for Boykins. I've seen a lot of them at hunt tests. I've seen a lot of them at training days. And I really, really like them little Boykins.
Man, I could have really used one of those on a kayak hunt last year with Arlo.
Oh, the great white.
Do you and Aries have any other big plans for this season, big hunts coming up?
We did just come back from Tennessee. He got his first neck collar. So that was definitely a special moment for him and I. I mean, it was my first neck collar, but I went there and there was no way I was not going there without Aries. So he got to retrieve a neck collar. Not that he knows anything. He doesn't even know. He just put a goose in his mouth. He don't care. But that was definitely one that was real special for sure. But as far as any other hunts right now, not really. It's just all local stuff. You know, we're just going to try to smack some geese right now. Everything's closed around us. We just finished up early season. And he actually didn't even hunt with any other guys this year because just I was everywhere else basically doing photography and stuff. But basically, I think ducks open up in about 2 weeks. And it's pretty much full send for him. We will be hunting with Finn, which you guys know very well. So we'll be able to see Finn's first hunt. And other than that, it's just going to be Aries pretty much just doing his thing. He's probably one of the more experienced dogs that we have right now. He's got one season under his belt. This will be a second year. And I think last year, I didn't exactly count, but I know he got over 60 retrieves in the season last year. So, I mean, for a young gun dog, that's a lot of work.
Right. He's got a little bit of a head start on old Finn.
Yeah, but Finn is going to come along real nice. He's going to be one hell of a machine. There ain't no question about it. And I'm actually genuinely excited to be a part of Finn's first hunt. I mean, there's a very good chance that I'll probably end up shooting Finn's first bird, because Wade will be on the side of him, making sure he's steady, making sure he's marking it, making sure, you know, all the pieces are coming together for him. So there's a real chance that I'll probably shoot Finn's first bird, which is going to be a really cool moment because I didn't shoot Aries' first bird.
I thought you were going to say because Wade's such a bad shot.
I'm excited to hear that story, though.
Oh, it's going to be any time now. We were thinking about doing it for early goose. But a goose is kind of intimidating for a young dog. You know, he's seen them, but they're big. You know, you try to grab them and it's all down on the bellies. So it's a little intimidating for a younger gun dog. So we want to do it right. We're waiting until duck season and we're going to smash a few ducks and Finn's going to get his feet wet right then and there. And that's going to be an exciting time for sure. I look forward to it just as much as I'm sure Wade does.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a pivotal moment for Wade.
Well, shoot, Arlo just had his first bird not too long ago, right? I remember you sending me the pictures.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. It's an exciting time. It's what it all is about, you know? You worked hard all summer. They work harder all summer just for that retrieve, you know? And, I mean, they bust their hump. There ain't no question about it.
Right. Well, you know, it's my goal to get you know, my red dogs, sure. Both of them on their first birds this season too. So,
oh, it's going to happen.
Got some exciting stuff.
Miss Bonnie over there. She's a little firecracker herself.
Yeah. Well, she had to miss out. She was the number one going into that hunt. But she went into heat. So had to sit out. I didn't want her swimming around with, you know, all that going on.
No. And it's good. Alo's like the OG of that litter, right? Of that little clan you got there. So
yeah, I've had him the longest, so he kind of I owed it to him.
Yeah,
everything happens for a reason.
I'm a huge fan of Alo. You've known that since day one. I'm a huge fan of that white dog. I think he's cool as can be. Just his whole demeanor.
He's pretty cool, man.
Oh yeah, there ain't no question about it. So that just goes to show, like, you don't necessarily have to have that fire breathing dragon to get what you want out of a gun dog. You know, you just have to put the time in.
I guess we're going to go ahead and dive off into our updates. Dominic, you want to go first this time?
Sure. So since our last episode, we went to our first hunt test. We did okay on Saturday. We ended up failing on the water concept. It was definitely a more difficult concept and really exposed these younger dogs to a cheaty bird for Mark 1. Even the test dog cheated the entire bank to get there. So if anyone here had not gone to the first hunt test, or they haven't failed the first hunt test, first fail was awful. You know, we recouped, came back home, and that car ride kind of felt like you'd lost an away game in high school, and it was just a somber ride home. And I got home, and I was like, you know, I got to do something. I know this dog's feeding off of my vibe, so I just took a baseball. We went down to the pond near our house because that's what she struggled with, was water. And we just did a bunch of happies, just getting her water confidence there, making a fun time, and, you know, kind of lightening the mood for both of us. And we came back Sunday, and, you know, we kind of had more of a, you know, the nerves got, you know, got out of the way. We got that fail over with. So we came back Sunday ready to work. Stepped on all our marks, performed well, absolutely no hesitation when it came to water, picked up both birds, great delivery on the water. So we ended up coming home with the ribbon. So we went 1 for 2, and I was just proud of how she did. So definitely highlighted some things we're going to work on, which are things like her water confidence, her recall a little bit, and we're going to revisit force fetch briefly with a bird, because when we went through that whole process, we didn't have a bird, and she was definitely a little bit slower to pick it up versus if you had thrown a bumper. So we're going to briefly revisit that and kind of help her along those birds there. But those are kind of my takeaways from the hunt test.
You know, the videos you sent me of Sailor running on Sunday, she looked as good as any started dog that I've seen at any of my started hunt tests. So she definitely bounced back, and I think everyone can kind of appreciate the redemption story. I've been to, you know, a few hunt tests where if the dog failed on Saturday, they didn't come back on Sunday. So for you to hang in there and then have the redemption has got to be pretty sweet.
Yeah, it made that ribbon, you know, it made it worth a little bit more than it was before.
Biggest updates for me, it's kind of more the same. And I talked about a little bit, just been running a lot of, a lot more blinds than we have marks. I did have last weekend, I was going to go do a little season setup for all three of my big dogs, I'll call them. And I had recruited my son to throw birds for me. He just turned 8 last week. And then I was thinking, man, it would be nice if I could set this up as a double. So I recruited my wife as well. And so I had the whole family out there running a season setup. And we did a land seasoned series with a double and a blind, and then a just for fun, a little dummy launcher action at the end with some steadying. So I guess kind of like a diversion bird. But they all did awesome, and they looked great. And, you know, my wife doesn't watch me train the dogs all the time, but it was nice to show off for the family a little bit there and have a little family time with that. Other than that, like I was mentioning, the pattern blinds and the progression of that, and that's been going well. And then with my client dog, Lola, we've been doing a lot of fetch work and she's smoking it. And at 2.5 weeks, she's, you know, been on the ground, and I'm stretching her out now. Today, I threw her some marks with a real bumper instead of my little force fetch tool. And I threw it as far as I could, which is like a million yards. Actually, probably more like 40 or 50. But she did great. She, I didn't overdo it. We did 3 or 4 marks. She dropped it one time. I said, fetch it up. She brought it right to me, you know, to heal, and she looks great. So I'm proud of how she's coming along, especially, you know, being being that she's not my dog, and, you know, she's going to be somebody's hunting dog. I want her to, you know, be solid. All right. With that being said, I guess we will wrap up this episode, and I want to thank everybody who stuck with us through all the updates, listening about our fire-breathing dragon, and then Dominic and I's updates. We look forward to having you back next time.
And if you are interested, we do have that code with Dirty Duck Coffee. So go ahead, and if you're running low on some coffee, pick some up. That code is OGD15.
Thank you to everyone for listening. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Operation Gundog.